Today's message is about Noah's Ark. So it was a request from Jesse Mercado. So if it turns bad, if the sermon is terrible today, blame that guy in the red shirt. He's right square on his shoulders, okay? I'm a little out of my comfort zone because I've been doing these things, sermons. I've been doing series on the women of the Bible, on the sanctuary and all this. And so today we're going to go on Noah's Ark. We're going to go on a little different journey today. My picture up here is a picture of the little Tykes Noah's Ark set. And I just, I think about these things, because I think it's, I almost did special music today. You guys know a song that's in the We Sing book. It's called Arky Arky. The Lord told Noah, I'm going to build an Arky Arky. Lord told Noah. It just seems it makes the whole story so happy and joyful. You can't sing that song and not smile. You can't play the little tyke set and there's lions and there's tigers and they all came in two by two and it was great. Well, it's the one story that I think everybody knows, and it's showing here, like this is just a book. I just picked one off of Amazon and but this is what we do. We make this story about Noah. It's all aboard Noah's Ark. And, you know, the animals, they came in by two and the birds came in and it was, you know, it's kind of a sinister story. There's more to it than just the animals they came in. It's deeper than that. And I think, I don't know, I asked my wife, when I was getting ready for this, I was talking to her about, she said, well, we don't sing Arky Arky when the kids get older. We try to get songs, steer them a little towards more like Dare to be a Daniel, stand up and be strong, you know. So we try to steer the direction away from that. This, I think, is just sanitized Christianity. I think it scares me a little bit. Today's today's message is going to begin in Genesis chapter 6. And this is my wife's bookmark in her Bible, and I'm just moving it. So Genesis chapter 6. It says, now it came to pass, when the men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and of all whom they chose. Now you got a picture of what we're talking about here. This is the world before the flood. God created this world in Eden beauty. The world was one landmass. We call the scientists call Pangaea now, and it was after the flood that the continents broke apart and started to drift apart, and the mountains were formed and all that. God's people were living in a perfect or nearly perfect world. It was in this Eden beauty. The grass was green. There weren't tall mountains. There were just low rolling hills. The trees, even the plants and the animals, were bigger, tougher, stronger. And the longer we live in this world, the more sin affects the world that we live in. It's becoming more and more degraded as we go. This world is wearing out like a garment. So we're talking about people that were living in a time just a little bit past creation. Yeah, the Garden of Eden had been taken away, but all the markers, all the hallmarks that God had made for creation were still there. And it had never rained upon the earth, never once rained upon the earth. There would be like a heavy dew that would settle upon the ground, and that was enough to water the earth to the point, one pastor told me, things were lots bigger back then. They said, he told me that Adam and Eve were, or Adam was 13 feet tall. Somewhere in that neighborhood, Eve was probably in the neighborhood of 12 feet tall. And as sin has entered into the planet, the more degraded we become, the shorter we become. And for a large part, in a lot of places of the world, the height of the people in general can be measured by how well they're fed. In the darkest times, in the dark ages, the average life expectancy was like 35 years old. It's because the sin was, yeah, it's pretty bad, 35 years old. It's because sin was so rampant. The word of God was chained to the walls. Nobody could have anything. And Satan was triumphing. And people were living to be 5 foot tall and 35 years old. So this is the time that we're living. This is just before the flood. The whole world was still in this radiant glory that God had created. And here you have this crazy guy, Noah. He said, God is going to destroy this world with a flood. One guy decided to build a boat up on the hill. Can you imagine? They were like, yeah, right. First of all, dude, it's never rained. Second of all, the rivers around here don't even flood. They have never reached, they've never gone over their banks. They've still, nature itself listens to the majesty of God. But they're getting to a point where every successive generation, they were walking away from God. And even this Bible verse here, which doesn't seem like it says a whole lot, says here, verse 2. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of whom they choose. Even that has a story to tell you there. Who were the sons of God and who were the daughters of men? Okay, from the time of Adam, salvation message was given. And to the sons of Seth, that message was handed down. It was handed down to Methuselah, all the way down to Noah. And those were the people that were carrying the torch for God. There has never been a time in world history when there hasn't been a people of God holding the torch, carrying the message for God. Amen. Okay. The daughters of men are the sons of Cain, or daughters of Cain, the family of Cain, the people who said, you know, I believe in God. That stuff's all well and good, but I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what this world has been fighting with since the very beginning. People saying, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do my own thing. And so here you have a story where you have God's people who are still sort of separate. You had the ones who followed God and the ones who didn't follow God. And then they started to intermingle together. And God's like, oh, you guys, enough already. And that's where we are here. The sons of God were the people who followed God. The daughters of men was the people who didn't follow God. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That means God had decided that the message would go out for 120 years, the word of warning would go out, and that all who would answer the call would be saved. That's another thing about God. We say that he's unfair, or this happened, or that happened, we blame him for it. But the word of warning's been going out for decades, for centuries even. And we ignore it, and we don't want to do what he says, and then when the things actually happen, we're like, oh God, why is this happening to me? I was in a hospital room one night. A dear friend of mine was dying. He had a heart attack, smoked and drank heavily his whole life. He had a heart attack, and his whole front of half of his heart had died. And he was in the hospital. And that night, he died. We were watching this little thing going, doop, doop, doop. And it stopped. And his wife, she burst into tears. She says, oh God, why did you let this happen? What can you tell her in that moment? God did not do that to him. He did that to himself. He ignored every warning and everything, every device, and he did that to himself. And you know what? I don't want to fault people because I got my own sets of issues and I don't know what all is going on with all that. But to blame God for that, I got issues. I got lots of issues. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive man with forever, for he shall be indeed be flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bore children to them, that the mighty men who were of old were of renown. That's a reference to the people being large in those days, and it's the people were starting to intermarry. Then the Lord saw, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The world was getting to a place where men's hearts were thinking about evil only continually. And I got to think that we got to be close to that now again. This world is growing old like a garment. We make it a constant diet of sin. We make it a constant diet. We watch television programs, and even the good programs. Like there's like one of the programs that it's NCIS, where they do this naval crime scene, whatever. And they're the good guys. They fly the flag, and they catch the bad guy in every episode. But we watch a murder every single time. We take this in, and we have this constant diet of evil things all the time. Crime shows are just wildly popular on television. Movies, slasher movies. By beholding, we become. And it says here, this is very sad. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. That pains me to read that. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds in the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Okay, so what did the birds do? What did the dogs do, right? They didn't do anything. God put everything on this earth. He made man of the clay of the ground. He knelt down. Of all the other things, he spoke them into existence, right? But man, he knelt down on the ground. He formed it out of the clay of the earth. He knelt down and he blew the breath of God into this lump of clay, and he was a special creation. All the things that were put on this earth, the wheat, the crops, the apples, the dogs, the chickens and all that stuff, that was put there for our benefit. And what was happening is these people were spending so much time worshiping the creation that they weren't worshiping the Creator. And they excused themselves. They were making idols. They were making, saying, well, it's okay. Well, these wooden things, they help me to remember that I'm worshiping God. Well, in the meantime, Satan is taking us, our worship, away from, directly from him. And so we start worshiping the other things. And once we start down that slippery slope, there's no going back. Well, it's just this. Well, it's just this little step here. It's no big deal. But what point are we safe when we start to walk away from God? But Noah, and I love this, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saw somebody on the face of the earth. He says, I'm going to place my hope in him. This guy has wholly, totally, unreservedly given his life to me. Through him, I will save the earth. And actually, he's like a type for Christ here. This Noah, this righteous person, would be the savior of mankind. Through him, all the nations would be saved. This is the genealogy of Noah. He's a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That is the highest compliment that you can get from all of Scripture, that to know that Jesse Mercado walked with God. That Marilyn White walked with God. There is no higher attainment than that. Doesn't matter what house you have, what car you have, none of that matters. It all belongs to God anyway. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy the earth. He says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. So this is a cubit from the point of your finger to your elbow. They didn't have tape measures back in the day, so you had a cubit, a span, a handbreadth, an inch was probably your thumb, and a foot.
13 feet tall, might be a little more.
Well, depends on the cubit, John. I mean, I'm sure Goliath of Gath, who was 9.5 feet tall, it was 6 cubits and a span, so that would be 9 feet and a span. his cubit would be a little bigger. Mine's not actually 18 inches. I think it's 19 and a half inches from here to here. So, like farmers, they measure horses in hands. but if you go with a rather rough guesstimate of say, of a foot and a half, 18 inches. I lost my place here. You shall be 300 cubits in its width. So 300 cubits, about 450 feet long. 50 cubits, about 75 feet wide. And 30 cubits tall, which would be three floors of 10 cubits, which would be about 45 feet tall. So what God told him to build wasn't this pretty little plastic boat that we give our kids to play with. It was probably like a barge. It's probably like, Spirit of Prophecy says it looked like a house. It was a big rectangle. And it was made with the trees of the day. Its work was a lot harder then because the trees were a lot tougher. They were meant to live forever. When God created these trees in the Garden of Eden and the earth was made new, these trees were meant to live forever. And we don't know how, there's a few generations that they were there, but the work was a lot harder. And so it was a square box with one door on the side, just one door. And this door opening was huge. And the door that was made for it, no person could move it. Not even 10 people couldn't even move it, okay? It had like a window. It was at the top of it. That was to let the light in, to let in fresh air, to different things. And so this was part of God's plan. You shall make a window for the ark. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark on its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under the heaven all flesh and which is in the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. It says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons, and your wives, sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. Keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after the kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you and keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, you shall gather to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. So for 120 years, this crazy old man started building a box on top of the hill and said it was going to rain. Not only was it going to rain, not only was this crazy idea that was water going to fall from the sky, but that it would flood the entire earth and that all flesh would perish unless they heeded the call to God. And all the scientists and all the smart people said, when has that ever happened? That's not even possible. Are you guys? He's crazy. And what's even weirder is there's people that said, you know what? Noah needs help. I'm going to go up and help the old man, but I'm not going to do anything that he says. People went up there. They helped him build the ark. They helped carry the timbers. They made preparations, and they did not follow it. And there was people, and this is probably the saddest part, the people that heard the message, and they listened. And they thought for a moment, yeah, Spirit of God is moving on my heart. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow him. And then when they went home and told their family about it, they're like, you're going to do what? And they let them talk him out of it. They started mocking and jeering at him, like, really, you're going to go up with a crazy old man? You're nuts. And those people turned away from God too. We can't afford at any point to turn our eyes off of Scripture, off of God, off of what he wants us to do, just because someone was mocking you or telling you that, oh, it's never happened like that before. Who is your God? Just because something has never happened before doesn't mean that God's not able to do it. And we're told, when the day came, we came very close to the day, the sky turned dark. And all these birds, thousands of birds, lots and lots of birds, so many so that was darkening the sky, came down and they landed upon the ark and they went into the ark with an unseen hand. And the people watch this and they're like, wow, maybe the old man has something, maybe he said something that's right. And for a minute, conviction grabbed their heart and they're like, no, that couldn't be. Impossible. And then they heard the sound. animals coming to the ark, two by two, led by an unseen hand, walking in single file into this ark, up the ramp, into the ark, right where they need to go. Noah's just looking at the people like, and they harden our hearts. They harden our hearts. No, it's just a happenstance. This is just crazy talk. That's never been a flood before. This never happened. And one of the sadder parts was God told Noah, he's like, okay, I have striven for man for 120 years. Take you and your family and go into the ark. And it says that the hand of God closed the door of the ark. It was too big, too heavy. It was impossible. And not only did the God close the door of the ark, but he set his seal upon it that no man, no entity, nothing anywhere could open that ark again until it was time by the hand of God. It's kind of interesting. They've done studies on the shape of the barge, and they put it on like some rough seas, and it's actually more stable than a lot of ship designs. It's not practical for what they do with shipping containers and whatnot, but as far as stability goes and what God had created here, this thing was fantastic. It floated, and it was almost impossible to capsize with the dimensions that it was made. So they went in. God sealed the door. God set his seal upon the door. And then, you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine? You just spent 120 years building this ark, 120 years preaching, God's going to flood this world. You know, the animals, they came in. Everything we did happened just like it's supposed to. And here I am sitting here and nothing is happening. Joseph. You're talking about a hurricane on steroids. You're talking about the waters of the deep bursting up from the earth, the waters that encapsulated the earth rushing down. This was turbulence like have never been seen before. So here they were. They closed the door of the ark, and nothing happened. But Noah, by faith, he just stayed there. He could have climbed up to the top to the window and jumped out of the ark and said, you know what, I'm sorry, this is weird. No, he stayed in the ark. He'd come this far. God had answered so many promises. He's not going to back out now. And for 7 days, nothing happened. And on the eighth day, there was a clap of thunder. And the people are like, what is that? What is happening? Lightning started to strike down on the places that are their houses and the trees and all the things that they held dear. This storm was brewing. It was starting to destroy the things that they had worked so hard for on this earth. And the rain started to fall. And the people still were outside mocking him. Can you imagine? Until the water started getting kind of deep. And they're like, hey, let me in. Let me in. That door had been sealed by God. There was no coming back from it now. We're told that the people started to climb up to the highest parts of the trees and the trees would be uprooted. They climbed up to the mountains and in the mountains, even the highest hills started to get covered with water. Some people, it said in Patriarchs and Prophets, where they would tie themselves to animals because they knew the animal, the survival instinct, would run up to the highest peak and would carry them up to the top. And even that, there's nothing they could do to prevent them from this doom that had been coming. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, it rained. That number 40 in Scripture, you see it time and time again. Jesus was fasting for 40 days. The children of Israel wandered through the desert for 40 years. It's talking about cleansing. For 40 days, God cleansed the earth with this new hope aboard upon the ark to repopulate the earth and just to show, to start again, to preach the word because Satan had an accusation. Well, you know, those guys, they just kind of went sideways. But, you know, if we try to do X, Y, Z, we can do this. We can do this. So that's why God has done every possible thing to show us that our way doesn't work. Every kingdom, every way that can be to rule people, every system, everything that human minds have come up with, or even Satan's mind has come up with, fails because we are not God. Today, we have a message. It's the three angels' messages. It's the same story. God is going to destroy this world, not with water, because we know that God sent the rainbow over the cloud to show the world that he would not destroy the world with a flood ever again. Okay? It's God's promise to us. But that doesn't mean that there won't be an Elijah message at the end of time. In every age, when men's hearts grow corrupt, a message goes forth to repent. Turn ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. This is going to be a worldwide message. This is where I put the tinfoil hat on, look like a crazy guy. Okay? Yeah, it's okay, Derek. You can laugh. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. That verse fascinates me because that's the one that tells us who the Creator is. Again, it's a reminder to go back to God's law. God's law is the revelation of his character. It's the foundation of justice throughout his entire system, and it's the one thing that human beings have been casting off from the beginning of time. That there, the hour of judgment, and worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters, goes back to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because when we remember who our Creator is, and we never lose sight of that, then we stop making ourselves and our lives and our other things that we're pursuing our gods. Had the Sabbath been kept from time, from eternity, we wouldn't see any of the problems that we have today. The crime wouldn't exist. Poverty wouldn't exist. But because men are selfish and we follow our inklings of our own hearts, and we say we worship God, but we do what we want to do, we end up hurting other people. That's the only outcome that you can have. When you turn your eye and you turn your back on God, the only possible outcome is to hurt other people. There is no other option. You can try. You will fail. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's the second angel's message. That is telling us that this big glop of religion that's out there, that's trying to convince you to join them and saying, oh, all roads lead to heaven. You believe this, I believe that. They all go to the same place. It's all good. Come on in and join us. God's calling it Babylon. Confusion. And not only that, he's saying Babylon is fallen. You know, I don't blame most of the atheists out there. I really don't. Because if that's what the world offers for me as religion, and that's what God is, I don't want that. I'm with them. I don't want that. You give me this, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. That's what I want. I don't want Babylon. I don't want to be confused anymore. There's no doubt in my mind why people turn away from God. And they turn away because they see the inventions of men's minds, the things that we create and call it religion. And then we go out and we hurt each other because you have to, because that's what you do when you don't follow God. And they say, look what they did. Well, yeah, they weren't following God in the first place. It gets worse. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, full strength, into the cup of the indignation, and you shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. God is going to destroy sin. It will not exist. At some point, sin will not exist. This normal that we live with will be not normal anymore. Amen. Amen to that. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. It says here, receiving the mark of the beast is on the forehead or on the hand. On the forehead, you know what it is, and you choose to do it anyway. You know what it is, and you embrace it. You make it part of your life. That's the people, they don't scare me so much as the ones who get to receive the mark on their hand. The ones with the mark on their hand is like, yeah, I don't believe any of this garbage, but I'm just going to go along with it anyway, because I don't know, it's just too hard. Don't care. That's what I got to do to make a living. That's what I got to do to eat. Meh, whatever. I don't care. Some point, God's got to be in charge. Some point, God has to be the supreme thing in your life. Because if God is not the supreme thing in your life, then you're not following God. One more. Revelation 14:12. And here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And it always comes back to obedience. That's something I don't do well. You tell me to do something, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Unless it's God. Because that's the only safety. If you read through your scriptures, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, you're going to find how people, when they obeyed, they were prospering. They were living the life, and when they became prosperous, they turned their back on God. They started doing their own thing, following their own commandments, throwing God's things away, and then they started to fall into decline. Obedience won't save you. Obedience won't get you entrance into heaven. But if you claim that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to follow him with all your heart and you're going to do this and you're going to sing loud in church and then you're going to go home and tell filthy jokes and murder your neighbor and steal from your coworkers, it's all emptiness. God sees this. He knows what's going on. It's the love that we have for him that compels us to obey him. I can't obey him because I don't want to obey him, okay? That's the natural man. That's me, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to do my own thing here. But the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, and you love the Lord so much that you're saying, yeah, I know, this is crazy. I look crazy, but I'm going to follow God here. I have to do what he tells me to. So we have the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You can't have you can't keep the commandments without the faith of Jesus. You can't have the faith of Jesus and not do the commandments of God. The two are inseparable. First Peter 3. For this they willingly are ignorant of that, by the word of God, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment, a perdition of ungodly men. Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. At some point, God the Father will speak from the temple. He will say, it is finished, and Jesus will come out as our high priest, put on the robes of a king, and come back and take us home. And we all look forward to that day. Jesus is coming, and we're going to be in heaven, we're going to live with him, and it's going to be great. But along with that comes the destruction of this earth. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. At noon not the flood came until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This world will continue to carry on like it always has. But anything this world has to offer you is hollow. This freedom that we claim to have in America, it's all but gone. America is this shell of what it used to be, and inside is rottenness and deadness. We pretend like we still have the Constitution and all these wonderful things, but slowly and surely these things are changing and we don't even know it. Long as I got food in my belly, long as I got gas in my car, and I got the freedom to do what I want to do, I don't care about you. I got to care about what I want to do, we're good, right? And knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in two in a row there. Comes a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I honestly thought about making a tinfoil hat for the sermon today. Because I sound like a crazy person. What you see in this world today is not what's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. He is going to come with the clouds of glory. Everything in this world is going to be burned up. And all the scientists and all the smart people in this world is like, nah. You're good. We're good. We're good. You're not. You're not. America is a fulfillment of one of the Bible prophecies, Revelation chapter 13. And we're struggling right now. You don't want to know why Americans are struggling? You think this last election went great? You think the way they're handling all the COVID thing is great and all that? You know why we're struggling? Because America has turned its back on God. Not that we've openly said, oh yeah, I don't want to follow God anymore, but we pretend to follow God and we choose our own way, our own methods, our own thing, and we just turn the Bible and say, well, that's, you know, it's a good guide, I guess, but it's really not what we need. Good. It's a good suggestion, but it's good to go. Think about this for a minute. If God's people were 80% of this country, even 80%, 60% of this country were Bible-believing, on their knees, Christians who prayed every day and sought the will of God, do you think for a minute they would stand up for the government that we have? Impossible. And we have this system in place because we don't follow God. We don't know His ways. We don't know Him. And that's why we're suffering. And the majority of the people, the more Satan lulls people away, the more immoral we become, and the more we lose our compass. And that, too, has been predicted, by the way. Revelation 13. I don't want to keep you guys here too long. And Mr. Derek, I do want to apologize to you. Normally, I would try to do like three or four Bible studies so we can kind of show you all the different steps on why I believe this, but we're going to hit you with it. I'm just going to hit you with it. Well, are you right? Revelation 13 starts out with this beast that rising up out of the sea, having seven horns and ten horns. This is talking about a power that rises up out of a populated area. It has seven horns and ten horns. It's the same beast that we see all the way through Daniel, through Revelation. And ultimately, it was the papal system. Okay, I don't come out and say the Pope is the Antichrist, but I'm talking about the 1 billion people on earth that follow that system. People of faith are everywhere, and this is talking about the system that's been set up to enslave people through this universal religion. That's Babylon, okay? So, just so you know, there's a prophecy, and Derek, just catch you up to speed here. There's a prophecy in the Bible that says this beast power is going to last for 1,260 years. 538 AD, the decree was made by Justinian, I do believe. That's all right. The decree was made. And in 1798, the Pope was taken captive by Napoleon's general. A fulfillment of a 1,260-year prophecy to the day that fulfilled Bible prophecy. Now, keep in mind, 1798, United States rose up, 1776, that's when we signed our Declaration of Independence. That's what it's talking about here with this this beast that comes up in verse 11. This first beast, verse 6, is that opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. His name is Tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was the power that enslaved the earth through the dark ages. And it was overthrown in 1798 as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And right around that same time, the second beast shows up, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. And that's important because it's saying it's coming up out of a not populated area like Europe. It was coming up out of America where there wasn't anybody. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Horns symbolize power. This new power symbolized a church without a pope, a state without a king, a people who founded their religion based on the Bible and on God's word, and then we prospered mightily because this was the foundation of our society. And now, we're turning our back on that. The very thing that made us prosperous is now we're turning our back on. Okay. And it says here, and he spoke. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in the presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven into the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. So what we're seeing is our country to be rise up on biblical foundation, and ultimately turn its back on God and to speak as a dragon, to follow the dictates and the manners of the first beast, to control people's lives down to the days of what you can do, what you can't do, where you can go, who can be king, who can't be king. America is doing that now. And the more we turn our back on God, the more evil it becomes. This is all a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Jesus is coming again. This is one of the signs that we know that Jesus is coming again. And what are God's people doing right now? This is the rebellious people. This is Isaiah 30. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits. Tell us what we want to hear, and make the way smooth. That's where we are. And I know, when we humble ourselves, and we seek the Lord, we can bring revival. We can bring revival to this earth, and maybe we can spare a few more. Maybe we can save just a few more people just by keeping the door open just a hair longer. I don't know. But I know this. There will come a point, just as in the days of Noah, when the door was shut. And whether Jesus comes tomorrow or he comes 20 years from now, that doesn't negate your mandate to obey God. Because when we follow God, we will prosper. I don't need to have a big multi-million dollar house. I don't have a swimming pool. You know why I don't have a swimming pool? Because I'm lazy. Because I'm lazy. I don't need a swimming pool to be prosperous. I don't need a big fancy car. But when I'm following God, all my needs are taken care of. And if you're out there doing the will of God, nothing, not one thing in this earth will stop you. So am I afraid of the COVID? No. Am I afraid of whatever else is coming our way? No, I'm not. I am genuinely trying to figure out, Am I in the will of the Lord? Am I doing what he's asking me to do? Am I taking seriously this call to be better? Because if you think you can go to, you know, you're going to go to heaven and tell dirty jokes and lie and steal from people, it's never going to happen. You're not fit for the kingdom. And yet, I know that God woos us. He changes us. He comes to right where you are. He says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like wool. You don't have to be perfect. You have to be willing to be willing. And when you're willing to be willing, God comes in and he makes the changes. Changes your heart so that you will follow the law, Lord. That you will seek his face. Everything that you see on television, everything that you hear on the radio, everything you see on the internet was made by somebody who was sitting there at a food processor, grinding it up for your consumption. And they're trying to lead you to follow you, have you follow them, and to believe what they're telling you. And that has been constantly changing. It's been changing since the beginning, since the America that I grew up in is no longer here. It's gone. We pretend like it is. But it's like America's rotting on the inside. The only thing that hasn't changed is the Word of God. That's the only foundation we can build off of. That's the only hope that we can have. I hope and pray that that's what we do. The Ten Commandments. God gave us 10 rules to live by. 10. And I don't care what denomination you are, what church you are, what your foundations, what your beliefs are. If this isn't the foundation of your life, you're lost. This is the revelation of God. This is the revelation of his character. It's the foundation of his kingdom. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Don't worship the thing. Worship God himself. Number one, not having gods before me. That could take the place of anything. It could be a car, a house, a job, a land. A child, a family member even. Does not take the Lord's name in vain. That I have a dual meaning for that one. One of them is just don't say the Lord's name when you're cursing. But I also happen to believe that we shouldn't be taking the Lord's name if we're not going to be serious about it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I do thy labor and do all thy work. That's this one, cut it down a little bit. In it, we remember who God is. If you cut that one down and just say, keep it holy, then we can worship a rock. We go out the driveway and pick up a rock and worship it. We could. You shall not have any other gods before me? Okay. Shall not make any graven images? Okay. Don't make fun of the rock? Okay. But it's the fourth commandment that tells us that it is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And then when we spend time every week basking in the memorial of his creation, we'll never lose sight of him. Honor thy mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. 10 rules. 10 rules to live by. And men say, no, I can't. I think you can. And I think when you do, you will be blessed beyond measure. And prepare you for the coming storm. Jesus is coming again. He is going to destroy sin. This will happen. At some point, the door will be shut. Take these warnings seriously. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, glory, glory to your name. Help us to ponder these things. And not only to ponder them, but to apply them. And not how any one of us would want, but what you would want. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And let us be ready when you come. Heed the warning. And to not be surprised when we see you in the clouds of glory. I pray in Jesus' name.